cliffcentral.com.
It's Michel Gondry with Spleen and Yael Naim. I kid you not, those are all the names involved in that song, but it's called Beautiful, and it is. It's a cool song. Okay, so it's Thursday. Tomorrow is a public holiday. It's Easter weekend. Lots of people very excited about that. 4 days off, basically, in a row. Almost as long as the working week usually is.
This is true.
But next week, we've also got a four-day week. So if the Friday and Monday aren't enough this week, then think about that. Next week, you're going to go work 4 days as well. And then at the end of the month, we get another long weekend. How nice. How nice. So good morning. If you've just woken up, if you've just started your day, and maybe you're heading off to work this morning, and you're stuck in traffic, and you're thinking, you do live in a very exciting country. There's stuff going on all the time. There's always something in the news. We were talking about this Bell Pottinger thing earlier. They're the PR company that the Guptas hired. And Ben was just saying, imagine you're the black first, land first people, those idiots that work with Andile Mritama. These people are so intellectually bankrupt. They're so completely lacking in rational, independent agency that they're willing to implement a program, a small, pathetic program, irritating little, annoying like a mosquito sound program against white monopoly capital, which they've determined is the enemy. Well, Bell Pottinger came up with that. They didn't even come up with that themselves. And they're prepared to be the foot soldiers who go and defend the Gupta compound. And then when it's shown that Andile and all his chums, all 10 of them, are paid by Bell Pottinger via the Guptas, then Bell Pottinger get embarrassed and they quit the Guptas. And now poor old Andile doesn't even have that money. What a loser. What does he have left? What kind of a person is he on the open market now? Who would ever hire him for any purpose from here on in? He's shown himself to be a laborer for Western capitalist interests.
The very thing that they're standing against.
Correct. There's no integrity at all there. I was thinking about like burning in Tlemesa, and I was thinking about Figile Mbalula and all these people. What will they do when they don't have a job in government? What will Claudie do? What will all Jacob Zuma's henchmen do? What will Faith Mutambi do? What will these people do for a living when they don't have the tap of state to open and suckle from? What would they do? Would anyone here hire Faith Mutambi, Claudie Motsweneng, Burning in Tlemesa, Figile Mbalula, or Andile Mritama? Anyone?
Well, Claudie will still have that thing.
Would you hire him for that thing?
That thing. We still don't know what that thing is. Yeah. Okay. So that's still very
good point. Maybe there's something special there that we're missing, right? Anybody, can you think of a job you could give to those people?
I'd hire Figile Mbalula to be the party starter. If I was organizing an event,
women would run in the opposite direction.
You get him to be there to, you know.
The hype man.
The hype, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
Mubs,
the hype guy.
Mubs, your hype, I could think of 10,000 reasons.
I'd hire Sia for that and pay him double.
Yeah, Sia would be way better than
Razzmatazz, though.
No, what is he
on fleek?
Okay, but remember, why is he even well known to us at all? Because he's in government.
Because he has a big mouth.
No, but
and he loves talking about himself.
If he weren't in government, would we even know he existed? He'd be running a shebeen. Not even running it. He'd be working in a shebeen.
Hey, man, you asked, I answered.
Okay, well, you're digging deep. Anybody else? Is there anyone who can come up with...
No, of the people that you mentioned, I'd only hire Figile to be the hype man.
How about Batabile Dlamini? Anything you could think of that she could do after this?
Wait, is she the one that allegedly has the drinking problem?
I would hire her.
I like the way Mabali doesn't go, oh, is that the social development minister? And she goes, oh, no. She's the one who has the drinking
problem. No, because I would hire her to, to be the person that comes up in a motivational talk to be the person of, this is why you shouldn't drink. You know, and then like and then she comes up on stage to tell her story of how alcohol, ruined her life. Yeah. So I think that she can be useful there.
It's like when they bring a drug
character
addict.
Character reference, that's
they bring those ex-drug addicts up on stage at schools and they say...
Yes, to speak to school children to say, well, this is why you should stay away from alcohol.
Well, usually those people are reformed. We don't exactly know about her just yet.
But isn't it like a reminder just how desperate these kind of people are to cling on to power?
Well, of course.
And this is the fight we're going to battle with.
These guys have won the lottery. These names we've just mentioned, they have won the lottery of jobs because they never evaluated on their performance, ever. Imagine if you're a cleaner in a shop, you clean the floors in the shop. If you don't clean the floors in the shop properly, your boss comes to you and goes, you didn't clean the floors properly. I'm sorry, we're going to have to get another cleaner. You know, there are certain performance standards built into that job.
Yeah.
If you're the dishwasher in a restaurant, you have to wash the dishes. If you break the dishes, you don't wash the dishes properly, you get fired. Fikile Mbalula has done nothing good as sports minister. Am I wrong, Ben? Can I be charitable?
I don't think it's the hardest job. I don't think he's left much of a legacy.
Okay. Batabile Dlamini, all she had to do is make sure that those social grants were paid. And we very nearly had a massive, massive crisis on our hands.
Yeah, if it wasn't for outside intervention,
it wasn't for the Constitutional Court and for the friends of the court, the parties who brought the application, who knows that payment wouldn't have gone through. Then, you've got Burning in Tlemeza, who has ruined the credibility of a once distinguished arm of our police service. And he has used that office to further a political agenda at the expense of the very vehicle he was meant to lead. It by definition, he has failed. Who else do we have in that list? Faith Mutambi. Name one thing, if you're a fan of Faith Mutambi or you know someone who is, one thing that she did as communications minister. What is she in charge of now? They moved her around. Name one thing she did as communications minister. Remember, she was meant to do that digital migration. So that we could free up some bandwidth. And
that was already pending for so many years.
And she was meant to oversee the SABC's effective running. Well, on both those counts, she hasn't even got out of the starting blocks. In fact, she's been pulled backwards by her own imbalance. Look at the quality of these people. You wouldn't hire them. You wouldn't hire them in the lowliest job in your operation. They are not held to any accountability whatsoever. They've done awful jobs. None of them have delivered. And they've yet got these amazing lives, salaries, blue light brigades, state housing, travel paid for. They get to go and meet the most interesting people in the world. I mean, Fikile couldn't wait to show us all the pictures on social media of all the famous people that he would never otherwise have had a chance to meet because he's not an impressive person. They won the job lottery. And what are they going to do after this? Anything that happens to them after this is going to be miserable and depressing by comparison. Imagine that's what you've got to wake up to every morning, knowing that tomorrow is never going to be as good as today. No wonder they're fighting and clawing for their place and defending the president and saying things that we think are stupid. They got nothing else to live for. This is the best they'll ever be. Imagine if your best day was yesterday. And you'll never have a better day than that.
Your best day was yesterday because of someone else or because of something else.
I had a great day yesterday. I told you. I woke up yesterday. I hit the road running. I could not stop. I was full of energy. I got so much done. I was so pleased with myself. Productivity was through the roof. I had a great day. And I said I would copy and paste it. And if I could, I'd do a week like that. And I would be unstoppable. But I know I'm going to have days like that again. And I know I'll have better days than that in the future. But those guys don't. That's got to be depressing.
That's very big and deep and philosophical of you.
Well, take a minute to think about it. Fikile Mbalula's life has already reached its zenith.
Well, is it? Can we ever bank on anything in this country?
I'm telling you now.
The way things change in 2.3 seconds.
Sia, there is no capacity in him that even entitles him to the job he's currently got, let alone any future jobs he might have. This is the best someone like Fikile could ever have hoped for. Ever, ever, ever. He's the luckiest guy in the world up to now, and then it stops. It's like winning the lotto, and then a couple of weeks later, they take it away from you. That's what it's going to feel like for him.
I hope you're right.
Well, I don't wish him ill. I just, that's reading the tea leaves. You don't have to be a Nostradamus to get this one right.
But I'm can't sure see how there's a surprise up the sleeve for all of us here. Next thing, we wake up next week and Flikile's face is on the money bills. It's just like Mount Rushmore, Table Mountain becomes our Mount Rushmore. Flikile's face is like carved into the side of Table Mountain. I'm not just surprised anymore.
Hey, where's Justice? Is he coming in today?
So Lucas is on that.
Yeah.
Where's Lucas?
Lucas is here.
I can never take, listen to Avi says, I can never take Fikile seriously on sport or politics, but I have to give him credit for a mostly honest and blunt speech at the police academy the other day. Avi.
I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear that either.
Well, was that about using bigger guns than the criminals?
Fact checker says, Ben, I heard the same episode of There's No Such Thing as a Fish that you discussed yesterday when referring to Churchill's speech. You forgot the one main point, and that was that the recording we have is not of the one he made in Parliament.
I know, but Gareth didn't give me the chance to get to that.
Actually recorded much later after the war had ended by him.
I agree. I just didn't get the chance to tell you that.
Recording equipment was not allowed in Parliament at that time. So there's the fact checker weighing in. Thank you very much.
What a name.
Mm.
You know, with a name like fact checker, you better not get any of your facts wrong ever.
Yeah. You're setting yourself up here.
You really are.
Hey, have you been to atulgupta.co.za?
No, why would I go there?
He's got a whole website.
Because, Mbali, it is a wonderful site showcasing a fantastic South African who is a philanthropist, a champion of the business sector, and I don't know, there's so many other things.
Well, it's got a whole category on his key achievements. Do you want to hear some of the things about Atul?
Yeah, okay.
You might not know.
Great pictures for a start as well. That's another reason we got to go.
Take a listen to this, everybody. Here's some information on Atul Gupta. Over his 30-year career, Atul Gupta has achieved great success both in business and in improving social conditions in South Africa, chiefly through his deep involvement with the family's holding company, Oak Bay Investments. By using his finely honed business acumen to develop corporate strategies, he has ensured that every Oak Bay project brings growth to its local environment and is sustainable and eco-friendly. Like all members of the Gupta family, Atul strives for excellence in all of his endeavors. Here are some of his key achievements. 1. Significant contribution to the South African IT industry. Throughout his career, Atul has traveled far and wide to visit the operating hubs of Oak Bay Investments portfolio companies, including Sahara Computers. 2. Taking globalization to the next level in South Africa. Instead of following trends or focusing on immature markets, Atul Gupta secured his global expansion strategy by finding potential in untapped markets. He has expanded into the rest of Africa, South Asia, and the Middle East using his unique methodology. He consistently delivered on the group's vision. Don't you believe it so far?
Great story. 3.
Atul Gupta's achievements in social reform. Contributing to the development needs of the community is a crucial matter to the Gupta family. Do you believe that? I'm just going to leave. The rest is such bullshit. Bell Pottinger wrote this. Extraordinary focus on corporate relationships. Yeah, especially those relationships where you pay people. And I don't mean people who work for you, but people who work for us, the people of South Africa. In other words, our government representatives. So they've got Oak Bay Investments. It lists everything. It's got all his business interests, Oak Bay Investments, mining and engineering, media, real estate, ANN7, leisure. He's got a substantial stake in the V&A Waterfront. Well, don't support them anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's find out. You want to know what their interests are so you can stop supporting them, right? Sahara Computers. Got it?
Okay.
Yep. JIC Mining Services, Oak Bay Resources and Energy, Scipio Technologies, VR Laser Services. If you use any of those, you should be embarrassed. Atul has had a long-standing interest in the media sector. Here's what he's got. 24-hour news channel, ANN7, TNA Media, that's the new age. South African luxury property market. They've got several premier properties in Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town and Rustenburg, include substantial stakes in top leisure and shopping destination in Cape Town, the V&A waterfront, and a secluded holiday destination and a private game farm called Clifftop Lodge.
Mm.
All right. Those are their business. Thanks for publishing that, Atul. Now we know what businesses to avoid.
But here's the funny thing. You say the website lists everything except they have a media coverage tab and it lists only the glory articles. I'm just like, where's everything that everyone is saying about all of y'all?
Sure.
Hey, listen, if there ever was a silver lining on this family, he was probably taught at a young age, go out there. You know, the world is yours.
Right.
Conquer a nation. And he took that way too hard. It's like, actually, I can.
Actually, I found a guy who's dumb enough to just do what I say.
Yeah. Well, you can also follow him on Twitter at Atul, A-T-U-L, and then T-N-A. That's his Twitter account.
The new age.
Where you can find absolute gems of him retweeting things like, my sources tell me CNN is committed to reporting fake news and they plan to stick with their fake reporters.
Hmm.
Interesting there.
I'm looking at it now, Ben. This is fascinating. I'm so glad that you showed me this.
And then he retweets a lot of those sort of white apologist people who hate white people.
Oh, I see Pinky Khwabane has been retweeted by him. Well, then that proves that he's a moron.
Bowman Bindwani.
Yeah, all the same people. All the paid Twitter people. He's paying them. He should retweet them, right?
Yeah, well, he retweets them to show that. I saw a funny thing on Twitter last night from Deep Fried Man saying paid Twitter's got it tough. Now they got to go pro bono.
There we go. In fact, if you want to know who's on paid Twitter, here we go. Mzwanele Manyi, Bom Bindwana, Pinky Khwabane, and Andile. Those are just in the top 10 of his retweets over the last couple of days.
I hope the money was at least good, you know?
Oh, Kim Heller from the EFF, he retweeted her as well. Hmm. Maybe she's also paid Twitter.
So the irony of Bell Pottinger saying that they don't want to be associated with this stuff that just makes them look bad is that they are probably the worst of the lot. So a report was revealed back in October of 2016. So this is just a few months ago.
Yeah.
The report revealed how the U.S. government paid Bell Pottinger more than $500 million from the years 2007 to 2011 from American taxpayers to spearhead a top secret propaganda campaign in Iraq. Jeez. Now, an investigation was conducted by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. They are a British watchdog organization. They're known for their extensive reporting on the U.S. Covert drone wars in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Bell Pottinger created fake videos that appeared to be the work of Al-Qaeda.
Hmm.
The company worked in Camp Victory, which is a U.S. military base in Baghdad. They worked side by side with high-ranking U.S. military officers. The propaganda videos were personally approved by General David Petraeus, then the commander of the U.S.-led forces in Iraq. He would then go on to become the director of the CIA. And, allegedly on some occasions, even the White House signed off on the propaganda materials.
Wow. What a disgraceful firm, and what awful things for these governments to spend money on them. Lie to their own people. To lie. Imagine your job is you're paid to lie.
Yeah.
Create lies. Sow discord. You people make me sick. Bell Pottinger. What a cuck name for a company, by the way. Pottinger. Sounds like something you go and drop a turd in.
Oh,
he's pottagering.
Excuse me, I'm just off to the Pottinger.
Been pottagering all day.
Yeah. Isn't that horrible? Imagine that's your job. You go out for drinks with your friends that night. They're all saying, oh, you know, it's going well at the auditing firm. Oh, okay, good. How's that? How's the law job? Yeah, it's all right. And yours? You still working in that kitchen at that restaurant? Yeah. What about you, Sarah?
Oh, I'm with Bell Pottinger.
I beg your pardon, what?
Bell Pottinger.
Jesus, everybody get away from Sarah. That's disgusting. She's got a disease. Sarah, don't you guys...
Yes, I'd rather not talk about it. I'm very embarrassed.
So which country did you destabilize today, Sarah?
Have you heard of Bhutan?
No, not really.
Well, you will tomorrow in the news. We've just financed an operation where all the Hindus are going to kill all the Muslims. So great. We just told them that the one group hates the other group and they believed us.
Sarah, you make me sick.
Oh. Oh, Sarah.
So disgusted in you, Sarah.
No, we had high hopes for you, Sarah.
But that's exactly what it is.
It is.
But just think, like, if you're a PR company, right, and you want a certain bread to sell better, or you want a chemical spill in a rural area to go under the under the carpet, it's all just manipulating facts and half-truths and realities. Right. They just do it with actual people and society.
Yeah.
It's the most cynical kind of information.
You'd probably find Bell Pottinger started off with, like, I don't know, toys or, like, chocolate or something innocent.
And, I mean, if governments are prepared to pay you close to $500 million US dollars, why wouldn't you sign up for the job?
Exactly.
Watch that movie, Wag the Dog. That's what they do. Except we always thought it was in-house. It's clear that governments actually subcontract people to do this stuff. I loved that movie. You've got to watch Wag the Dog if you've never seen it. Dustin Hoffman's in it. It's very good.
Yeah, there's also a book I read a while ago called Confessions of a Political Hitman.
Mm.
And it's kind of similar vein. So it's about destabilizing third worlds and, you know, it's like getting people to fight against each other so then you can swoop in and get the oil money.
Mm. But surely those are the most terrible people in the world. Those are the real colonialists.
Sorry, Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
I mean, aren't those the real colonialists? Isn't the purpose of colonization is to sweep into an area and to drain out all the resources, to use the labor, to treat the people like objects, and then to leave. That's what colonialism in its worst definition is meant to be, right?
Mm.
Worst definition. It's rape and pillage. And if that's the case... Isn't that exactly what Bell Pottinger does? In which case, why would anyone who's anti-colonialism be pro-Bell Pottinger?
And then you have to ask the question, gosh, I wonder how many other countries Bell Pottinger have, you know, contracts in.
Mm-hmm. Have a look at the Bell Pottinger timeline, someone says. It's lit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a look at that. Someone just sent me a... Huh. This is interesting. Day 2, Impact Investing World Forum 2017. What is the link between charities, social impact bonds, and social entrepreneurs? I don't know, Bell Pottinger. Are they all paying you to make up bullshit so that they seem nicer than they are? They've only got 3,643 followers. It's the UK's leading full-service international communications company. Then they talk about... insightful commentary from colleague Philip Bank, writing for PR Week UK News about rail policy. You see, it all seems very sanitary when you go to their feed. This is terrible. You can see they've got their own spin machine working here. Huh. I don't see anything hugely controversial, but then that's obvious because they wouldn't want anything obviously controversial.
Well, they're a PR company. They're not how to package that kind of stuff.
Correct. That's what they do. They cover up the good stuff. Hey, Lucas, what's the story with Justice? You can't get hold of him? What's going on there? Help me.
I think he went for a Passover. I can't find him.
You think he's gone to Maria?
Yeah, I think so.
He's gone up to the ZCC church, huh?
Well, I could tell you about the most painful ways to die if you want.
Oh, of course we want to know that. But okay, so clearly no justice this morning. I don't know. No explanation given. I'll have to find out from him what the hell's going on later.
Went for
Passover. I mean, what is that really? Just to not pitch this morning when we need him the most. In this week of so much news. All right, Mubs, let's get straight into it. What did you say, the worst ways to die?
Well, some of the most painful ways to die, according to scientists.
Most painful?
Yeah.
Why are we... Oh, okay.
Because that's what I like. Paul Doherty. He is a senior scientist at San Francisco's Exploratorium Museum. And he was also on the research team for the Viking Mars mission, if that's something you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So he teamed up with a writer, Cody Cassidy, to look into the most interesting ways you can die. Arguably also probably some of the most painful. So if you are in an elevator and it suddenly drops and you are, say, 50 floors up when this happens, what do you do?
You die.
You see, I thought this list was going to be like, if you're in Mars and then there's no oxygen and you suffocate. But these are like practical things that could happen today.
So how many times have you been told that you're apparently supposed to, or at least I've heard that you're supposed to jump up just before the elevator crashes to the floor?
I don't know that's going to help you.
I don't know that that's going
to... How do you know it's about to
Well, this
the
is the thing. Yeah. Is,
you're already moving down at a speed.
Yeah, so...
counteract with the jump.
Now, according to Doherty, laying flat on your back is the best way to spread out the G-forces. So you're supposed to lie down when this thing starts dropping.
Oh, my God.
Okay. It's the best way to spread out the G-forces evenly through your body, because if you're standing up, your organs may keep falling even though your body has stopped. So try picturing your standing body remaining in place while your organs literally rip through your skin and hit the ground. That's apparently what will happen to you. Your organs will rip through your skin and they will drop to the floor of that elevator.
What a horrible picture.
Imagine them finding your corpse.
Yes,
it's going to be a messy... No, it's going to be a messy scene
on the outside.
In there. Yeah.
Ooh-wee. Yes.
You should also hope that your elevator fits snugly in its shaft so that the pillar of air below the car slows the fall, and then the broken elevator cable below can provide some or other kind of cushioning. So apparently... Just lay flat on your back, and that's the best way to try and protect yourself. Now, what about drowning?
Oh, what about drowning?
So Paul and Cody looked into what would happen if you were at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which is apparently the deepest part of the world's ocean. Now, they say that fortunately you are mostly in water, and because water is incompressible, you are likely to retain your basic human shape. Okay? The air pockets inside you, namely in your nasal cavity, your throat, your chest, would be a problem, though. Those would collapse inward, which is actually what kills you in that kind of drowning situation. Is
What's
basically
the pressure?
Yeah, the pressure.
Yo, that's not nice.
Because you wouldn't have any air, you wouldn't float to the surface. And you would likely stay at the bottom to be consumed by the bone-eating snot flower, which usually eats whale bones. But it would probably make an exception in this case, right? So, yeah.
What?
The bone-eating snot flower. What it does is it eats bones. And they say that your body would not float to the surface, so your corpse would remain down there, and then the bone-eating snot flower would come by and take care of you next.
And I wonder how long it takes for you to die if you're drowning. Well, I guess it varies from person to person. Like, realistically, how long you can hold your breath.
I don't think you could hold your breath.
No.
Like, the pressure would just, your soft tissue would cave in.
Yeah. I mean, they're looking at this from the point of view of you being in the absolute deepest part of the world's ocean.
Yeah.
So it would probably be a matter of seconds.
In the region of the world... It's like
I don't know where
Asia.
The I don't
it's
know
off the Philippines.
Yeah, I don't know where the
Mariana Trench. It's the deepest place in the ocean. But I mean, you could go down. You could go down a couple of hundred meters, and the pressure would kill you.
Now, an interesting part of their research was that you can't actually die from a lack of sleep. If you stayed awake for, say, 30 days straight, do you think that is something that that could kill you? And, you know, the scientists here say you cannot actually die from a lack of sleep.
I saw a very disturbing article. I don't know if it was one of those hoax things about this experiment that they did in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Where they took these people and they sleep deprived them. And they became...
Trust the Russians to do that.
Yeah, yeah, they became insane. Started eating each other.
Started eating each other.
Yeah, they psychologically, it just screwed them up completely. I don't know if that's true. Again, I want a disclaimer here. I did not believe all of it or suck it up, but it did seem very disturbing and it seemed like a good story.
Yeah, and who signs up for something like this? Strange feeling this.
What's the longest you've gone without sleep?
3 days.
Really?
And I felt like I didn't know where I was. I wasn't entirely sure what I was capable of doing, if I was actually in doing anything or if I was just imagining I was doing something.
Yeah, two days and some change even.
Here we go, the Russian sleep experiment. Do you want to hear about it?
Yes.
So, towards the end of the 1940s, Soviet researchers sealed 5 prison inmates in an airtight chamber and dosed them with an experimental stimulant gas to test the effects of prolonged sleep deprivation. Their behavior was observed via 2-way mirrors and their conversations monitored electronically. They were promised their freedom if they could go without sleep for 30 days. The first few days passed uneventfully. By the 5th day, eventually, the subjects began showing signs of stress and were overheard bemoaning their circumstances. They stopped conversing with their fellow inmates, choosing instead to whisper compromising information about one another into the microphones, apparently in an effort to win the favor of the researchers. Paranoia set in. On the 9th day, the screaming began. First one subject, then another, was observed running around the chamber screaming for hours on end. Equally disconcerting was the behavior of the quieter subjects, who began ripping apart the books that they had been given to read, smearing the pages with feces and plastering them over the mirrored windows so their actions could no longer be observed. Then, just as suddenly, the screaming stopped. The subjects ceased communicating altogether. 3 days passed without a sound from inside the chamber. Fearing the worst, the researchers addressed them via the intercom. "We're opening the chamber to test the microphones," they said. "Step away from the door and lie flat on the floor or you will be shot. Compliance will earn you your immediate freedom." A voice from inside answered, "We no longer want to be freed." Mm. 2 more days passed without contact of any kind as the scientists debated what to do next. Finally, they decided to terminate the experiment. At midnight on the 15th day, the stimulant gas was flushed from the chamber and replaced with fresh air in preparation for their release. Far from being pleased at the prospect of leaving, the subjects began screaming in fear for their lives. They begged to have the gas turned back on. Instead, researchers unsealed the door to the chamber and sent armed soldiers in to retrieve them. Nothing could have prepared them for the carnage they witnessed upon entering. Is this scary yet?
Mm-hmm. Carry on.
One subject was found dead, lying face down in 6 inches of bloody water. Chunks of his flesh had been torn off and stuffed onto the floor drain. All of the subjects had been severely mutilated. In fact, even worse, the wounds appeared to be self-inflicted. They had ripped open their own abdomens and disemboweled themselves with their bare hands. Some had even eaten their own flesh.
Ooh.
The 4 who were still alive seemed terrified of falling asleep and refused to leave the chamber again, pleading with the researchers to turn the gas back on. When the soldiers attempted to remove them by force, they fought back so ferociously they couldn't believe their eyes. One suffered a ruptured spleen and lost so much blood there was literally nothing left for his heart to pump, yet continued flailing for a full 3 minutes until his lifeless body collapsed.
It's like zombies.
The remaining subjects were restrained and transported to a medical facility for treatment. The first to be operated on fought so furiously against being anesthetized that he tore muscles and broke bones during the struggle. As soon as an anesthetic took effect upon his heart, it stopped and he died. The rest underwent surgery without sedation. Far from feeling any pain, however, they laughed hysterically on the operating table. So hysterically that the doctors, perhaps fearing for their own sanity, administered a paralytic agent to immobilize them.
After please tell me there's a bottom line that says like, "Ha, we're joking, this can happen."
Listen. After surgery, the survivors were asked why they had mutilated themselves and why they'd so desperately wanted to go back on the stimulant gas. Each in turn gave the same enigmatic answer. "I must remain awake." The researchers considered euthanizing them to obliterate every trace of the failed experiment, but they were overruled by their commanding officer, who ordered that it be resumed immediately, with 3 of the researchers joining the inmates in the sealed chamber. Horrified, the chief researcher pulled out a pistol and shot the commanding officer point blank. He then turned and shot one of the 2 surviving subjects. Aiming his gun at the last one left alive, he asked, "What are you? I must know." "Have you forgotten so easily?" the subject said, grinning. "We are you. We are the madness that lurks within you. all begging to be free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. We are what you hide from in your bed every night. We are what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to the nocturnal heaven that we cannot tread in. The researcher fired a bullet into his heart. The EEG monitor flatlined as the subject murmured these last words. So nearly free. Okay, so it's bullshit, but isn't it a great story?
That's a nice bedtime story.
Isn't
for
that
us?
A great story?
For
I mean,
a
it's
little
total,
kid.
It's total. I just wanted to build up some suspense, but it's
what
complete.
What is wrong? Because I'm busy sitting there like, is this normal?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. After yesterday's talk about you guys wanting to watch people die on TV to this, I'm glad we need a little break, y'all. We need a little long weekend situation to breathe.
It would have been an interesting indemnity form that, huh?
Mm-mm. Can we lift the spirits a bit?
No, we're busy finding out about the worst ways to die, and Mabs is not even nearly finished.
Oh, no, I am actually nearly finished.
Oh, okay.
But what was a true story, Gareth, was a high school kid called Randy Gardner who tried to stay awake for as long as possible back in 1964. Mm. He managed to stay up for 264 hours or 11 days straight.
Wow.
He hallucinated. I don't know. He hallucinated, and part of his hallucinations included him thinking that he was a professional football player. Then he mistook a street...
Maybe that tells you about professional football players, yeah.
Then he mistook a street sign for a pedestrian, and eventually he lost muscle control.
Hmm.
But having gone 11 days straight without sleep, he made a full recovery after just... one day of sleep. So that's all it took, 24 hours to set his body right again. And he was perfectly fine. So this scientist says that you can't actually die from sleeping because your body will find a way to make you sleep eventually.
It's like an auto reset. Your body will just go into it.
Yeah.
I love to sleep.
We all do.
I would hate to do that to myself. You couldn't pay me enough money to give myself sleep deprivation. Please.
There's no greater feeling.
Ah, oh, it's nice.
Mm. Like, case in point, tonight, we'll all switch our alarms off.
Yeah.
Such a nice feeling.
Oh.
Mm. I'm going to screenshot me switching off my alarms tonight. All three of them. Look at this. I got three alarms.
Oh,
see this?
You're one of those people.
Those are my backup alarms.
10 to 5, 10 past 5, and
no,
then...
5 past 5 and 10 past 5.
Oh, okay.
And they're all different. They all make a different noise. So I've got a range of reasons to not be late.
You have to explain this multiple alarm system.
Ugh, please, there's no logical reason for it. It's stupid. You should have one alarm.
Oh,
right?
No.
So how often do you use the backup alarms? Because now you've created that opportunity for yourself.
How many years have we been doing this waking up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning thing? Huh? How long?
9 years.
Ugh.
It never gets easier. But you develop a paranoia about being late. And I know I sometimes sound like I don't care when I come in here late, but I really do. It bothers me. Your blood pressure goes through the roof. Oh, by the way, on that matter, someone said they translated President Zuma's speech from last night from Zulu. He basically said... those who call him names suffered from white people's disease, stress. He said, I do not have stress. As a Zulu man, stress does not exist. You can go to a traditional healer, ask to be healed from stress, but they do not have muti for stress.
Mm. What part of the speech was
that? Was what he said last night. The guy's, he's primitive. He doesn't think stress exists.
Well, that then probably explains why he's not fazed about any of this.
He really isn't, but maybe he's that, like, backward. There's a guy in the gents' toilet at Cubana Greenpoint who welcomes you to the toilet, and this is what he would say. Welcome to the shithouse, sir. Now that would be a good job for Fikine, says someone on Twitter. I can never take... here we go. Migs, Ben is your email address, ben@cliffcentral.com.
I don't use that.
Well, which email must he use, for heaven's sake? He wants to send you an idea and an entertainment suggestion.
Ben@thebounce.co.za.
All right.
I can't have all these other email addresses.
Gareth, The bad news about The Strain is the fourth season's the final season. Have a good day. Oh, yeah, because you said there was bad news about it, but you only tell me, what, 3 days later? Megs, I could have killed myself in between. Another one for Ben. Ben, will the rest of the Karpinski clan do the sport when you and your father are unable to? That's a good idea.
Why would you want that?
Well, your brothers could do it.
No, they couldn't.
Yes, they could.
No, they could not.
I think we must try them. Good morning.
And where am I going, by the way?
Well, I mean, you go away occasionally. The game show Alpha Male Convict Killing idea you had yesterday is already being made into a film called The Running Man with Arnold as the lead.
No, there have been films in the past that have a similar concept. We want to make the real thing, though.
Right. More people talking about Zuma. Do you guys have a Cliff Central wagon so that you can go on your road trip and you can broadcast to us while you're on your road trip? And people saying that that Russian sleeping experiment is bullshit. Yeah, I kind of revealed that at the end. But it was fun to play with your feelings in the meantime.
Well, see, I definitely enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah.
And have a great long weekend from Mike in Durban. Isn't that nice? So thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know about the wagon idea. I don't think we'd...
A wagon?
No, the wagon for the road trip. I didn't...
A wagon?
Yeah. They're like, do you have a Cliff Central wagon to go on the road trip? Like,
We should get like a Cliff Central Winnebago and it parks out front here. Massive branding opportunity. And then we take it places.
You think so?
Yeah.
What does a Winnebago look like?
Just a really big, like, camper van. So it's like...
I would not want to be in a Winnebago with you lot.
With any of you. Nah, like, this is exactly what Sia's saying. She doesn't like the wagon idea. I don't like it either.
This is the problem with this team. It really is. We're trying to go to the next level. It's like, I don't want to do that.
I'm with Gareth.
I don't want to hang out with you guys either. But yeah. I mean, let's look at the listeners here.
No. What's wrong with the level we're on now?
The listeners can take a seat on this one. No road trips ever.
Barbara Bush.
Well, there you go. I tried.
Walking down the corridor together.
Are you stroking your cock?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I don't have one of those.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm massaging my breasts.
Okay, then.
I don't know why she always wants to share with us like the most intimate details.
I took out my teeth already. And I need you to get my teeth out.
Hey, speaking of intimate details, there was a woman who gave testimony in a Cambridge court yesterday about how her sex partner
out of left field, all right.
gave her an electric shock to her vagina. People, you and your experiments. Okay, so 27-year-old woman allegedly given.
I'd like to help you come.
Okay, allegedly given a 240-volt electric shock on her vagina by her dominant boyfriend. And she revealed she thought that she'd had a heart attack. And she honestly thought that she was about to die.
Ooh.
She claims that she was strapped to a wooden sex board wearing a black gimp mask when she was given the shock by her partner, Kieran Batten. Now, apparently, Batten is into sadomasochism and that whole dominating sex thing.
Yeah.
And he managed to, you know, talk his girlfriend into trying out these new experiments.
Uh-huh.
She was speaking from behind a screen in a Cambridge court when she told a jury that being touched by the homemade electrical shocker was like being put in a microwave. It's like everything in your body is on fire, really, really hot.
Hey.
All you hear is your ears going bang, she said.
What a horrible thing to do to a person. Man. I'm not into this S&M stuff at all. I know some people might think I'm boring.
That's okay, Gareth. I'm with you on this one.
These people who have to shock each other's genitalia, they have to whip and slap and beat
pinch and cut
and puncture and oy vey. No, thank you.
Now, aside from giving her testimony, she had to deny claims that she had used the same shocker on Batten's testicles. He also alleged that she would put out cigarettes on his nipples and that she once burnt him with a blowtorch.
Oh, my gosh! What is that?
People just have normal sex.
Where do you a blowtorch?
Yeah, why do you have to do this? Why?
So, can we just understand why? The setting of the scene? So there you are, you're in your bedroom, yep. You and your lover.
Right.
I don't know, you might have, you know, a few candles, you know, lit up. Then you go, baby, hold on a minute. Then you need to plug this thing in, and then right. You need to set the gas thing, and it's like a flame. And where in that do you go, ooh, that's hot? Where? I'm really not, like, I'm trying to understand here. The next time you're like with your mechanic and they're fixing your car, you're looking at them like, ooh, no.
Wow. And then you get flashbacks when he pulls out the blowtorch.
You don't ever, listen to me, you don't ever need to do this stuff. I know you might be bored with each other, but this is not good. Please don't hurt each other like this. It's so unnecessary. Sex should be pleasant, not horrible and painful. Am I missing something?
No.
Why do people want to do this to each other?
I don't know where or when. Why? One gets pleasure from having a cigarette put out on their nipples.
See, I just always sadly think of if I was in a situation like this and ended badly and I needed to go to hospital, for example, I would have to make that dreaded phone call to my mother and go, hey, mom.
Yeah, I'm in hospital.
And what happened, son? Well, I was with someone
someone attached a shocker to my testicles. I mean, what a thing to have to do, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if that gets you going, though.
No, it's not. No, come on. Hey, do you know who died this week?
Oh, no.
In music?
Oh.
Music.
Well, Charlie Murphy died. That's Eddie Murphy's brother, which is very upsetting.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, and John Giles died. He's the guitarist who founded the Jay Giles Band. And they had a couple of really big hits. The only one that you'll probably know, I hope you'll know it, because the last couple of times I've played you songs that you meant to have known, nobody here knew them. So, do you know this song?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yes. This is the Jay Giles Band. It's called Centerfold. This guy died this week. I like this. Let's play the whole thing, shall we? Come on.
Does she walk?
Does she talk?
Cliffcentral.com.